This message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Kakrabaden. Welcome to Air Power with Kakrabaden, teaching the nations with signs and wonders. Why live in darkness when the light of God's word has solutions? Kakra is a teacher of the word who also ministers with miracles and the prophetic anointing. He's the senior pastor of the Catch the Anointing Center, Accra, Ghana. Now, today's message.
Hello and welcome. Kakra has been sharing a revelatory series titled The Art of Hearing under the subtitle How to Recognize the Voice of God. Today he speaks about one distinctive feature of the voice of God, love. Let's join in.
John chapter 10 verse 27 is our key scripture. I've been saying on the subject, the art of hearing, specifically how to recognize God's voice. How to recognize God's voice. The word recognize means to know who someone is. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 10, let me start from there. The Bible says, there are many voices in the world, and none of them is without signification or significance. It means they all mean something. In other words, at any point in time, we are hearing different voices from different sources. So the voice of God is always mixed with other voices. That is why you must be able to recognize God's voice. I can recognize my wife's voice from anywhere. I don't have to see her. There can be a group of people. She can call me on the phone, whatever. But when she speaks, I know that my wife has spoken and my wife is here because I can recognize it. That's why we have voice recognition software. It's able to tell people's voices by using whatever, computer patterns to determine who is speaking. And so in the realm of the spirit and naturally, there are so many voices. Sometimes you don't know whether it's your mind, you don't know whether it's your feeling, somebody says something, you don't know whether it's the voice of God. So the question is, how do you recognize God's voice? The main keys to recognizing God's voice is you must know the distinct peculiarities of God's voice. Because every voice has a very distinct thing about a voice. Number one, I said you must be in the spirit. The reason is that God is a spirit. John 4:24 said God is a spirit. And they that worship him must be, but worship him in spirit and in truth. So because he's a spirit, his voice is also a spirit. That's why you must be in the spirit. Very important. In Revelation chapter 1 verse 10, John the apostle said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a voice. In other words, before he could hear the voice of God, he had to be in the spirit because God is a spirit. That's why you have to be prayerful, because when you pray, it makes you spiritual. Acts 4:31, when they had prayed, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So prayer fills you with the spirit. The word of God also makes you spiritual. Ezekiel chapter 2 verse 2, it says, and the spirit entered into me when he spoke to me. In other words, when God speaks to you, the Holy Spirit enters you. I have noticed from experience that when I have a vision or revelation or dream or whatever, and God speaks to me, after it looks as if I've been praying for 10 hours. The reason why I feel like I've been praying for 10 hours is that when God speaks, his spirit enters into you. It makes you very spiritual. It gives you a fast turbocharge. May God speak to you. Number two, I said the word of God is permanent. In other words, when God speaks to you, it stays with you. You know, you can have a dream, and after the dream, you just forget about it. You can also have a dream that can stay with you for the rest of your life. The reason is that God's word leaves an indelible mark on your spirit. In Luke 21 verse 33, the Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. So that's one distinct quality of God's voice. It's always there. So that's why even in marriage, it's good to marry somebody that you think God has told you to marry the person. Why? Because through the storms of marriage, through the problems, through the troubles, if it is God who told you, that thing will be a rock and an anchor in your spirit, because you will always remember the voice of God who directed you. It will be permanent. So 1 Peter 1:23, it says, being born again, describing God's word, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed. Corruptible means something that can rot, but of incorruptible. See, the word of God does not rot. But by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. All flesh is as grass. In other words, any idea, plan, voice that came from your own flesh or your mind is like grass. How does grass behave? The grass withereth. In other words, if the word is from your flesh, it can thus die off. And the flower thereof falleth away. The 25 says, but the word of our God endures forever. So sometimes you feel that maybe you may have a dream. You feel that God is telling you to do something. Let me tell you something. Don't do anything about it. Put it on the shelf. If it's not of God, it will just rot on the shelf. You will forget about it. But when it stays with you, be careful about things that stay with you. A thought that stays with you. A burden that stays with you. An idea that stays with you. It never goes. It's always coming. It's always coming. Do this or do that. Or put your money here, or go speak the word of God here, or live here. It keeps on coming and coming and coming and coming. Watch it. The Lord may be speaking to you, and you may not know that it's the Lord. So permanence is important. Number three, I said, has to be scriptural. In other words, God's word must be backed by scripture. You know, one thing I find interesting in the New Testament is that anytime they said the Holy Spirit spoke to them, they always went into the scriptures to find out if it aligned with the word of God. For example, in Matthew 1:18, talks about the birth of Jesus. It says, now the birth of Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So the Bible says he had a dream. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So Joseph had a dream. But when he had the dream, he didn't just take the dream at face value. He went into the scriptures to find out whether this dream is actually scriptural or biblical. For verse 22, this is where they checked it, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, a virgin shall be with child, and they shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus. And so they found it in the book of the prophet Isaiah. So for those of you who don't read Isaiah, you read only Matthew, you may not find some things. So it's important for you to read all scripture. The Bible says all scripture is profitable, not some. All scripture, including the boring ones like Nahum and Obadiah. Maybe your beloved is in Nahum and you are walking around, John. Hallelujah. So it's important for us to always make sure that a scripture. Number four, when God speaks, it brings forth fruit. You know, when God speaks, it's a seed, and the seed brings forth fruit. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus spoke about the parable of the sower, and he spoke about one distinctive characteristic of God's word. Luke 8:11, he said, the seed is the word of God. In other words, the word of God behaves like a seed. What do seeds do? When you plant a seed, let's say a mango seed or tomato seed or pepper seed, they grow and they bring forth fruit. The fruit that they bring forth tells you the seed you planted. So if I plant mangoes and I come out with pepper, it doesn't matter how the tree looks or the plant looks. It is always the fruit that determines the seed, not the seed that determines the fruit. So when a mango tree brings forth pepper, we will never call it a mango tree. We will call it a pepper tree. We'll say a strange pepper tree we've never seen before. So when we say we have heard God's voice, ultimately, it's a seed. And that seed is supposed to produce a particular fruit. So that's taken from Luke chapter 8, verse 5, where Jesus said, let's read Luke 8, 5. Jesus said, a sower went out to sow his seed. No, a parable is a story with a hidden meaning. So here the hidden meaning is that that seed is actually the word of God. But Luke chapter 8 verse 10, Jesus said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, hearing they might not hear, nor understand. So anyway, we learned that that seed actually is actually talking about the word of God. So Luke 8, 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. It was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Then Jesus goes to talk about the ones that fell on a rock, some that fell on thorns, and that fell on good ground. Verse 15, now he explains the meaning of that which fell on good ground. It says, and that which fell on good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word of God, keep it and bring forth fruit. In other words, if it's a seed, it produces a certain kind of fruit with patience. So if we want to check whether a thought, an idea, something that somebody is saying, whether it is really God that is speaking through the person, or God is talking to us through a dream, one of the ways that we can tell whether it's God's voice is we have to go check the fruit. Because it's the fruit that determines the kind of seed we are talking about. But we are told that the seed is the word of God. So what fruit is this? Very simple. Galatians chapter 5 verse 22 talks about the fruit. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. 24 says, faith, meek, temperance. So it gives a list of fruit. Then it says, against such, there is no law. What does it mean? It means that somebody who has all these fruits, you don't have to make laws. That, oh, be faithful to your husband. Oh, every time come to church. Oh, be a serious person. Don't insult people. Don't be a thief. Doesn't need any laws. Because once he has these fruit, he will do everything he does will be correct. So you don't have to make a law for him to do anything right. So that's what he's trying to say. So the fruit of the Spirit, I just want to talk about two. Let's look at the fruit of love. Anytime that God speaks, the end purpose is love. Love for God, love for mankind. So we can always tell when you say that God has spoken to you, you can check it by the end result of what you said God said. What is the fruit that is going to produce at the end? If it's going to be love, love for God, love for man, then God is talking to you.
Thanks for your time. Today we learned that one key feature of the voice of God is that it produces the fruit of love, love for your fellow man. Join us same time tomorrow for the continuation of this message.
You are here and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You want to give your life to Him. You know you are far from God or you are a backslider. And you want to give your life to Jesus. Pray this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, today I repent of my sins. Wash me with your blood. Come and live in my heart. I believe that you died for me. Be the Lord and Master of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my heart. Amen.
Before we leave, here is a praise report to boost your faith in the Lord.
This one says, healed of blood cancer. He said, dear prophet, I had a friend who was diagnosed with blood cancer and was given 3 months to live. I encouraged my friend for prayer and you prayed for my friend. And after your prayer, my friend started getting better and better and better and better. Now to the glory of God, my friend is healed and is normal. She's now lived close to 1 year, although she was given only 3 months to live. She's alive, strong, and doing very well. I want to give God the praise. Put your hands together for Jesus. That's a wonderful testimony. Cancer of the blood healed.
Good values have to be chosen intentionally, because there are people around, they will try to change your values.
Who you are is a reflection of your values. Your values are developed consciously or unconsciously. Success is conscious, and Christian values have to be developed consciously. This message will inspire you to develop the right values for a successful Christian life. You can order this message series through the following means. Place your order on Facebook by posting Order Values at the comment section or message window. Send an email to info@kakrabaden.org or call us on WhatsApp or send a WhatsApp message to +233 55 790 10. That's +233 55 790 10. You can place a regular call or send a text to +233 20 7575 215. That's +233 20 7575 215.
Thanks for your time. You can contact us, seek counseling, ask for prayer, order today's full-length message, or order books through the following means.
Call us or message us on WhatsApp to +233 55 790 10. Send an email to info@kakrabaden.org. You can also make a regular call or send a text to +233 20 7575 215. Our office hours are 10 a.m. to 1600 hours GMT. Finally, write to us, share your testimony and how this broadcast has been a blessing to you, even if it is a brief note.